In the last week or two, we've gone over the hardwood forests in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We've covered it from a number of angles, from biodiversity to species stability, to resource competition and more. Today we're going beyond just the trees and living things, and we'll analyze what is below our feet. Not just roots, but the soil itself. We'll be discussing pedodiversity. It's soil diversity, not children, feet, or flatulence. Yes, Greek and Latin have a lot of root words that mean different things. In this case, pedo means soil. When we look at pedodiversity in a localized environment, we're measuring how many different particles there are within a sample and how many different types of soil can be found in a small area around it. Now we're into soil chemistry. When we analyze the soil sample's properties, nitrogen and magnesium levels are two easy ways to see what type of soil it is. Until just recently, pedodiversity hasn't really garnered a lot of interest. However, the science is swiftly gaining traction. More and more studies are being done, solidifying and expanding the information on the subject. There's a clear link between biodiversity and pedodiversity, a link between animals and plants. A movement is happening within the field to make pedodiversity research a part of forest management. A high variability in soil compositions is common in forests. If you compare forest soil to soil found elsewhere, you can see clearly that forest soils have an overwhelmingly higher diversity within it. However, that also means that you're very unlikely to find exposed deposits of ore anywhere in a forest. All right. Let's look at pedodiversity's three main causes, at least within an old-growth forest, like the ones we've been studying. One reason is tree species. Different types of trees will have different impacts on the soil properties and formation. For instance, maple trees have a high nitrogen impact on the leaf litter when the leaves fall in autumn. However, pine trees will shed needles, which will affect the pH more than the nitrogen levels, making the soil around it more acidic. Lots of different species of trees means the pedodiversity will be higher. Another reason is gaps in the canopy. You see, when trees fall, they leave holes of sunlight where there was previously shade. The leaf litter below is warmed by the sun and may remain wetter because the fallen tree is no longer around to suck up as much moisture. With the higher temperature and humid conditions, the sunny leaf litter will be the perfect spot for decomposition to happen, and that process speeds up. In other words, organic matter like fallen leaves and dead wood will break down faster when there are large holes in the gaps. The third main cause, not the final of all causes, there are still many causes that will impact pedodiversity, such as human intervention, animal movement patterns, local river flood patterns, and so on. Anyway, the third main cause is from trees being uprooted. When it falls over, and the roots rip up with it, it leaves behind a deep pit in the surface of the earth. Some of the dirt may shake off the roots later on, washed by the rain or what have you. Pits and mounds are important to pedodiversity, as the sudden movement of roots and soil mass will drag rocks and other low-lying substrates to the surface. Forest management needs to study pedodiversity, because those forests impact soil quality. When we better understand the variations within the earth, we can also be better equipped to predict how our actions will impact the forest. The idea to bring away from this is that forest management practices should try their best to mimic natural processes. By doing so, they'll be able to safely control soil quality and biodiversity.